only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, someone give me some hemp over here. The microphone is actually just falling off.
Duct tape.
Microphone.
How about if you take this one over here?
Just falling off the out of its harness. Literally now, I'm holding this microphone in my hands. Can we? Little help.
All right. I don't know what that was all about.
Okay, I just pulled the microphone over to myself. I'm now on backup power. This is like when you're.
This is sort of like in those old vans. This is like in those old vans from the 70s when you have to go on the auxiliary gas tank.
It's not on.
It's not on.
Now you're on.
There we go.
How about that?
Okay. So now I'm speaking into the backup microphone and I'm holding the regular microphone up with my hands. I swear to God, the little wing nut just came off. Like, I just grabbed it and started pulling it over. It just came off of my hands.
Those weekenders have a good time loosening those things.
Weekenders. Hold on a second. Don't nobody go anywhere. Just spin it.
I'm just going to look into this.
All right. The name of sweet Christ on it. All right. I'm just going to try to fix this here. I had this whole smooth intro all planned. And, of course, the microphone weighs like 35 pounds.
It doesn't weigh that much. Stop whining and just screw the thing back in.
Why don't your ass come and do it then?
Well, fine. I'll be in there in a second.
Hold on. I got it. Anyway, so it's 3 minutes and 59 seconds after the hour at 12. This just lacks all the dramatic punch now. Here you go. Yeah, you're going to help with that in the hole. Okay, Matt's here. Matt's actually going to... See what I mean? I just grabbed the thing, just came apart in my hands, and it was made out of silly putty. Yeah, not quite as easy as it looks, is it, Mr. Producer? Yeah. All right. It's a good thing we work in a multi-million dollar broadcast facility. Microphones made out of balsa wood and baling wire. See, why would you even build it to be like that? See, that's what I'm saying. It can't be fixed. Well, if we had baling wire, if I had some baling wire, I could actually get it working. Yeah, I'll just do it during a break or something.
This sounds like some instructional program on the Learning Channel.
This
sounds old microphone.
It sounds like K-Pam is what it sounds like.
No, they wouldn't have anything live.
Well, in any event, it's 5 minutes, 1 second after the hour of noon. In this, the month of December, in the year of our Lord, 2002, it's a Monday following Christmas. We are here. We're live. Is it working?
All right.
You got to turn it on.
I think it might actually be fixed. Hold on a second. We'll switch it on and see if the microphone's working again.
Well, what a way to come out of the gate today.
All right, here we try switching the microphones over.
There we go. Oh, excellent.
Doesn't that sound better?
It sounds like old times.
Jesus, God in heaven. Well, it's 4 minutes into the show. I haven't been able to do a damn thing. Well, all right, anyway. I had this whole thing I was going to say about some stuff, but it's...
Don't move that much. I'm not exactly sure how well that is on there.
Well, I don't know, man. I just, every day, I grab it by the harness, and it's only on it, I'm yanking on it or something. I'm just pulling it over in front of me, and I pulled it, the damn thing just came off of my hands. All right, well, anyway. But there's just no way to recover from this opening. Now, there's just no way to pull ourselves out of this steep nose slide that we're in. So I'll just say, coming up later on today, we are here. We are back. We're live. Hope your holidays were safe and relatively uneventful. Hope nobody got liver poisoning or anything over the weekend. We get Office Confidential. A special, by the way, a special holiday Office Confidential coming up. An end-of-year top five. Jolie from the front desk with How Chicks Think. Battle Watch, Hick Watch. Later on, Richard Nunn from the WB. And now it's your friend and mine, Tim Riley, in the KOTK newsroom.
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
And this news isn't brought to you by anyone.
Well, that sucks.
It kind of does, really, but it gives us more time.
It's brought to you by a microphone company.
Jesus, I would hope so.
The Easy Screw Microphone Company.
Easy Screw. I think I used to work for those guys.
Anyway, we have all kinds of stuff to tell you about. First of all, the Coast Guard continues to search today for the crewman of a tankboat that sank in rough seas near Florence early this morning. Two choppers and a motor lifeboat have been launched. Four crew members were rescued. One of the helicopters helped rescue a crew member from the water. The lifeboat took three others from a life raft. All four are cold but in good condition. There's still a missing person wearing a survival suit somewhere. So maybe you survived. They came under the chest at 2:30 in the morning. It was cold and wet. They had like 30-foot waves out there, so not a good day to be out in the boat. Okay, then we have this latest sighting of Edward Morris. Apparently, he stayed overnight at the Super 8 Motel in the Dalles. This would be December 20th, the date that they believe Morris killed his family. Now, get this. He refused to show his driver's license. He gave a bogus name and address to get a room, and they gave him one anyway.
Good to see the war on terror is really helping.
Yeah, I guess.
What's your name? Hugh Jass? Well, all right, Mr. Jass, room 32.
Yep. Maybe he was the only person who checked into the Dalles Super 8 that night. After renting a room to Morris, the clerk checked the license plate himself and wrote it down, but he didn't make any note to make the model of the vehicle and notice any stickers, but it was WSH-171. The clerk told officers that the van was parked with camping gear. According to the motel clerk, he left at 1:30 December 21st, roughly 5 hours after Al-Qaeda's discovered the Morris's bodies. So there.
Why would you possibly, and he's from St. John's, right?
Yes.
So why would you possibly decide to, allegedly, according to the man, so allegedly you kill your family, and then you decide to take it on the lamb, but then you only lamb as far as the Dalles. What is that all about?
That's just you don't need an ID. Even if you refuse to give your ID, you still get a motel room.
That's like deciding to plead the authorities and just going down the street
attention
to the local.
Attention all criminals, you're welcome to stay at the Super 8 in the Dalles.
Which,
knock off a bank, do anything you want. You're welcome there.
We think he fled about 3 blocks away to a Froger shop.
What the hell is that all about?
Anyone who wants to start all over again, check into the Super 8 Motel in the Dalles.
Can I just tell you, there's the creepiest hotel in the, I don't know if it's in the Dalles or it's near Cascade Locks, but it's this hotel, I don't even know what the name of it's called, but any of you who have driven through the Dalles Cascade Locks area late at night, especially when it's raining, you've seen this hotel, I know you have, if you're driving towards Washington. There's some hotel, and it's by the Char Burger Restaurant, that little Indian girl with the feather sticking out of her head. There's this hotel that looms up out of the distance, and it's got this Norman Bates red flickering neon sign, and it's like you can't really see it, and then it comes out of the gloom, and you can kind of see it through trees and fog, and it just says, vacancy, vacancy, and it kind of flickers on and off. Looks exactly like the kind of place you're going to get knifed to death and made into a couch in. So, anyway.
Anyway, attention all terrorists coming in from the Canadian border. Rooms are available at the Super 8 Motel in the Dalles. No ID needed.
And is there anything,
cash your checks.
Is there anything more depressing than the Super 8 Motel?
Hmm. Yeah. I guess it's a step up from a Motel 6.
It's really not. At least the Motel 6 got camp value going for it.
Super 8, they don't leave the lights on for you because somebody already smashed them. Anyway, okay. I'm sure it's a fine establishment.
Their occasional harboring of wanted murderers notwithstanding.
Right. Oh, we'll have to talk to Richard Nunn about this. It looks like the Tribune Company, a good company, has bought the WB32 and another station in St. Louis. They paid $275 million. Once the deal is done, the Chicago-based Tribune will own and operate 26 stations, 19 of which are WB affiliates. So we knew this was happening because when Richard took us over to WB, he showed us the new chain-link barbed wire fence they just put up.
And yeah, maybe this means he'll start chipping in when we go out for food.
Well, that could be, too. But the Tribune's a good company, and yeah, their TV station in L.A. is pretty good, too. So hopefully it'll make even the WB32 even better than it already is.
That's not possible.
I think you're right. Well, anyway. Let's see, what else do we have today? Oh, we have the Battle Watch.
Here's a Rick Emerson Battle Watch for Monday.
I want you to remember that no bastard ever won war by dying for his country. He won it by making the other poor dumb bastard die for his country.
Well, the Bush administration is condemning the killing of three American missionaries in Yemen. He calls it horrible and tragic. Now, Yemen is this lawless country. They're our latest friends, but nobody's really running the government. People just run around in camels and kill each other at random. So they sent these Southern Baptists down there to open up this hospital.
Is that your sociological perspective on it?
It is. Oh, after okay. Exhaustive research, but that's actually the way this country's run.
We've decided it's just dudes on camels shooting each other.
Yeah.
And stoning women every so often to break up the monotony.
So that's what happened there. So anyway, they hope it doesn't happen again.
Wouldn't he just learn at this point not to be a missionary? Didn't we learn from those three... those weird Stepford women that were over in Afghanistan. You remember that right after the war?
Ones, yeah.
Right after the war on terror started, those three chicks who all looked like Jenna Bush were over there, and we had this bending over backwards trying to get them out of there. What, it was their own damn fault for being in the country to begin with?
Well, these people weren't allowed to teach Southern Baptism down there. They were Southern Baptists.
What a loss that is.
Well, they can't say, you know, just because you people are dark-skinned, you're supposed to be our slave. That wasn't allowed there. They were just allowed to run that hospital. Let's see, what else do we have? Well, part two of the Battle Watch today. It should come as no surprise that our first step when we enter Iraq will be the oil fields. Colin Powell says they must be liberated for the sake of the Iraqi people.
The oil fields are the property of the Iraqi people.
And if
the coalition of forces goes into those oil fields, we would want to protect those fields and make sure that they are used to benefit the people of Iraq.
My expedition, my navigator.
They're damaged by a failing regime on the way out the door.
Yeah, okay.
Whatever you say. I wonder if he even expects us to believe it at this point. You know what I mean? Do you suppose that he even anticipates that anybody's going to buy that? Or is he just... Is it one of those things like... Remember with Clinton? Remember back when we had Bill Clinton? Ah, good times. You remember when Bill Clinton would talk and it's like... And we knew he was lying, but it's sort of like he knew that we knew he was lying, and he didn't really, and I don't really expect you to believe this,
but
and he would just roll out some trove of crap, and he knew it was a lie, and he knew that we were aware that he was lying to us, and that kind of made it okay. It was sort of a wash, because nobody was really under the impression that it was going to be perceived as the truth.
But, you know, he's finally crossed over the threshold that he knows that we know that everything I say from now on is a lie.
Right, and so with Powell, I'm reading that Woodward book right now, Bush at War.
Now, how's that?
It's great. It's incredibly well written. I mean, it's Bob, I'm a huge, you know, Bob Woodward fan, But you read this, you read Bush at War, which I don't know if Imus has read it yet, but you read this Woodward book, and it becomes so clearly obvious just from the very beginning, immediately after September 11th, they never had any intention of going after any countries other than Afghanistan and Iraq. Like, those are the only two countries from jump that they ever even considered attacking. Because remember Bush laid out that mandate on September 14th, I think it was, where he had that address to the public, and he said, and he said, you know, any nation that harbors terrorists or supports terrorists or any nation that processes or buys anything that's sold or processed, you know, that whole speech, you're going to come under the whip, too. The United States is going to come whoop up on your ass. But you read this book, and he's got all these, you know, internal memos and everything, and it becomes obvious that Iraq was the only other country they ever considered. They never considered in the Sudan or Syria or Iran or any other countries. It was always just Afghanistan and then later Iraq, especially from Rumsfeld.
Do you remember back in 83, did you read this report over the weekend that Rumsfeld, through a Chilean company, managed to sell them all these nerve gases that we're after right now? So it was through the back door. It's kind of like an Ollie North type of thing. But Rumsfeld was behind that in the early 80s. It was a New York Post article over the weekend. It's very interesting.
All right. So we'll be liberating oil. And doesn't liberate, isn't that just code for taking? Isn't that what it means? We're going to come, we're going to liberate your oil fields and your cities and your young virgin women. And that just means we're going to put them in the back of a truck and take them back to Philadelphia.
So somewhere. You know, if you have a Lincoln Navigator, take a nice long trip, there's going to be plenty of gas to go around.
It's the American way.
I kind of miss a Navigator. Although this is my last day with a Mercedes. Mercedes, which you're going to miss.
At times is hard. Do I even need to ask if you like the Mercedes?
Oh, how can you not love the Mercedes?
I wouldn't know. Not having really ever driven one.
Smooth as silk on the roadway.
What do you get next?
I'm not sure. We'll find out tomorrow.
Where could you possibly go? Like, unless you were driving a car made of solid gold, there's no way to... Where could you go for the Mercedes?
Assuming he's following Ian's pattern still...
But not always.
He's actually going down.
To...
A Nissan Altima.
Well, back down with the common people.
Well, you know, it's Motor Trend's
$70,000 Mercedes.
No, it's no Mercedes. But, you know, Motor Trend's car of the year, like a year ago or whatever. It's one of the new Altimas.
It's one of the most good-looking cars too.
So, is the Mercedes the nicest thing you've driven?
Definitely. But last night I had the worst nightmare, and thankfully I woken. I dreamt that I drove at 90 miles an hour. Into a brick building hit first. And I woke up in a sweat. It's like, oh!
You ought to do that on the last day just to amuse yourself. Wait, they come and take it away today? Or tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
All right.
Tomorrow's the day.
It's so funny. I'm not... When I went up to Kennewick last week, I'm not even in Kennewick like an hour and a half. My mom, why don't you ever get anything on that program? Why does everything go to other people? And I'm just, Mom, it's... It's a tough road to hoe, Mom. What are you going to do?
And you should have told them that nobody else on the showcast has ever been to Kennewick but you.
Is that true?
I thought Sarah would have at least been.
I've been to Kennewick.
Oh. I've driven through it, but not been in.
Yeah, I mean, stayed there or something. You didn't go to Super 8 there.
I may get the nicest cars, but I've never driven one to Kennewick.
Yeah, well, you know, and you are poorer for it. Is that the end of the battle watch?
That is the end of the battle
watch. There's your battle watch for Monday.
Americans play to win all the time. Americans love America. Now we have the best spirit and the best men in the world. That's why Americans have never lost and will never lose a war.
I have too many Sun Chips in me for some reason. And you know, Sun Chips, do you ever do this when you're going, like, when you're presented with a litany of bad food options? And, like, you know, and it's always when you're near a convenience store or when you're on a road trip and you stop at some sort of a, you know, like a gas and blow or whatever, and you go in and you don't want to eat badly, but it's just the best of a bad lot. And so you're looking through all the food that they got at the plaid pantry or something, and you're trying to pick out something healthy, and you just end up going with something that seems healthy, even though you know it's not. And that's how I am with Sun Chips. Usually we're in this whole routine where former Weapon Master Ian Gordon goes to breakfast. He goes to this deli down the road. We all give him like our $5, and he gets us like a soup or some chili or something for the deli, which is reasonably healthy. But we're not doing that today, and so I'm always over at the plaid pantry getting that little, you know, that little gas station sandwich? You know what I'm talking about? It's all the mash down, and it's like one thin.
You don't really eat those sandwiches.
What are you going to do? There's nothing here. I have nothing. And they don't stock anything good over there, and so I'm trying to find, like, a healthy snack chip.
Man,
so I get
another block up
chip.
Is the deli. Why not just pop up?
Yeah, because I just don't have, time to walk 4 blocks, in the middle of my day, because that's like 11 a.m. when it's only an hour before the show, and I just don't have time to walk 4 blocks to do that. Plaid Pantry is only 40 feet away, so my schedule just doesn't permit it. And so then you get those Sun Chips kind of like sitting in your stomach on the heels, by the way, of what I must say, just.
And then it makes you sick when you walk on the way out and you smell nothing but urine. I guess if you shop there, it is mandatory for you to urinate on their sidewalk before you reach your car.
I hadn't really noticed that, but
yeah, it's true.
I was just going to say this comes on the heels of just the worst gastrointestinal week for me in the history of. I mean, and I eat.
I'm stopping you there.
I'm not saying that I have bowel disorders. I'm saying I've eaten. So, you know, there's a fine line between eating very well and eating very badly. And that's how it is over the holidays for most people, including myself. Because, you know, my mom is just one of those women that loves, you know, now that her kids have all gone away from home, she just loves to start cranking out those pies like 3 months before Christmas. And so she calls us on like Monday, you know, before we leave. I've got 75 pies sitting on the table already. What else do you want? And we go home and it's just like we're not even in the door 30 seconds. And she's just, you know, she's just holding our mouth open with one foot and shoveling the food in just with a truncheon. Just shoveling it like ham and fudge. Down our throats. I mean, I must have gained 15 pounds while I was there.
You do look a little chubbier.
Oh, man, I feel like I'm just on maximum density right about now. I mean, nothing but fat and grease. I mean, high-quality fat and grease. But I don't see how people can eat like that every day. I mean, I came home, we got back on Friday night, and like Saturday morning, first thing, got out of bed, made myself like a tuna sandwich. Absolutely plain, uninteresting, dull, and boring. Man, it tasted so good because I've just been eating nothing but crap. I mean, high-quality crap. But just crap for like 4 or 5 days. I cannot even begin to fathom the number of calories that I've ingested since Christmas Eve. And, of course, my mom, does your mom do this too, where she loads you up with stuff that you got to take home? Or it's like you're trying to leave, and she's like, no, you've got to take this side of beef with you and these 14 pounds of Christmas cookies. And you don't want to say no because it's such good food. You know it's going to be a year before you get it again. But on the other hand, then you come home and it's just, you know, man, it's just Bingeville. All right. Anyway, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland, 1-800-727-5955. We have more coming up on the way. All right. See if we can keep the microphone together for another segment. Coming up later on, How Chicks Think, a holiday edition of Office Confidential. Today's top five. More of your phone calls. Richard Nunn from the WB and all that. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland. 1-800-727-5955. It is the Monday after Christmas. Monday the, 30th. And we are back. We are live. It's Office Confidential. The case today.
Portland.
It's Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
And then, you know, here's the worst thing about eating snack food or any sort of a fried chip. Then you get that, you know, that film.
The not-so-fresh feeling.
On the inside of your mouth. It totally is. It feels like somebody's covered the inside of your mouth with Visqueen or something. Just feels like you just ate a big fistful of you know, I don't know, like WD-40 or something.
Can we just stop the food talk?
Am I alone? Did this not happen to everybody else? You didn't go home to Bremerton, though, did you?
I did, for Christmas Eve and Christmas.
So you drove, when did you come back?
The day after Christmas, some of us had to be here to work.
I thought you were here on Christmas Day.
I wasn't here on Christmas Day.
All right, excellent. Okay,
nope.
What do we got here? Sarah dealing with the traffic.
Got an opinion? Pick up the phone and call. Lines are open at 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, it's 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. And so forth. All right, coming up later on, we got the holiday edition of the Top 5. We're starting to do our... And there's no way that you can avoid this. You know how as you get towards the end of the year, everybody's today we have our list of the top five greatest moments. There's no way we can avoid it. We just got to get down the sludge and roll around like pigs in slop like everybody else. So coming up later on today, we have our own lame end of year list. And Jolie from the front desk will be here for How Chicks Think. This is Michael in Tigard. What's up with you?
Hey, I want to talk to you about dissing Kennewick like that. Have you ever been to Yakima?
Oh, yes. Yakima, Washington.
The springs of the Northwest. That's what the sign says.
Kennewick is a freaking garden compared to Yakima, especially this time of year.
Let me talk to you about Yakima. When I was living in Spokane, I almost took a job in Yakima at KATS Rock Radio for Yakima. I almost took a job on the KATS morning show, and it required going to Yakima, as everyone calls it if they're not from the Northwest, for like an interview. And there's you all have seen this. When you go to Yakima, there's this moment, it's like driving through Woodburn these days, where you're driving through Yakima, and then you just reach some event horizon where the signs are no longer in English, where like one out of every 10 signs is written in English, everything else just Spanish, like to the point that I don't even know why they have an English-speaking morning show there. And so yeah, Yakima is a bad place. How many people, what's the population of Yakima?
Well, I don't have any idea. All I know is I definitely would not want to live there after driving through that pit.
No, it's a hellhole. At least they have apples there, though. You know, Kennewick just has dust.
Well, hey, and a big F-Mat for the end of the year.
Excellent.
This F-Mat is sponsored by NorthwestPipes.com.
That's what I'm talking about. All right, it's Tim Riley in the KFTK Newsroom.
Tom Hanks says he's too busy to be a liar. So he's a con man as Frank Abagnale in the new movie Catch Me If You Can.
He's really not.
That's what it says here. Hank says he tried to con his local bus driver with fake transfers when he was a kid, but a driver looked at him crossways and he confessed on the spot.
Lied to, seduced, abandoned, you bet. Stolen from, yes.
This doesn't even make
off.
Any sense.
That's me.
There you go. And
it all happened. Not like overtly conned. Well, no, maybe I did once. Some guy came up to me and insisted that he and I work together on bosom buddies, that he was a lighting guy, and that he needed $40. And I gave him $40.
The hell was that? There was a little Herman Munster action going on. There was like a Clyde laugh there at the end. All right.
Hank said he could relate to the pain Frank Abagnale felt when his parents divorced.
My parents got divorced way before it was hip, man. We were like celebrities on our block because we had, you know, three sets of different step-parents. But it's what it is, it's like a watermark in anybody's life. It's this period of time where you always remember where you were and what you were doing when you found out your parents were breaking up.
Is there anybody whose parents aren't divorced? Isn't that like some law? By the time you hit 16, your parents have to split up?
Okay, mine are still together.
Tim.
Mine were married for like 30 years.
They what?
They were married for 30 years.
And then they just...
One died and the other died eventually.
Oh, my parents are still together.
That doesn't really count as divorce.
Yeah, my parents are still together.
Wait, yours are too, right, Rick?
No.
20.
No. My parents hate each other long. My parents are hating on their old school.
Doesn't mean they can't be married.
They've been married like 28 years. 29 years.
I don't even know what that's... I can't even fathom... Like, the parents... The people talk about divorce. Oh, it's such a tragedy. You've got to stay together. Screw staying together for the children. My parents got divorced like the happiest day of my life. And you all, your parents have gotten divorced. You all know this, too, that there comes a certain point, especially if you're a teenager, where you're like, Jesus Christ, would you just get a divorce? Because, like the kid can totally see. The kids are no fools. The kids know when you're staying together, like, just to appease them. You know, and there's that real brittle British politeness at the table. Would you pass the salt? Yes, dear. Here you go. There's the salt. So how was your day? Fine. So, how was scouting practice?
Great.
And, you know, and there's just like this incredible like ice storm formality over the table. And so when your parents finally just cop to the fact that it's not working, they're getting divorced, it's just the biggest release. Let me also say this, though, about that sound clip. That sound clip was completely inaccurate because Tom Hanks, as I understand it, is playing the FBI guy. He's not playing the con man. That's Leonardo DiCaprio. Okay, so I don't know what the hell that's all about.
So at least that was Tom Hanks speaking, right?
Yeah,
okay,
I think
so it's half right. That's not bad. That's close to we get. Anyway, from Fox News Sunday, Kansas Republican Senator Sam Brownback says human cloning should be banned entirely, but he leaves the door open for adult stem cell work.
Can a woman look more sexy than in those Pan Am uniforms?
Okay.
I think they are the sexy.
I don't know. I don't know what kind of cloning we're talking about here. But that's entirely wrong.
Apparently we've foregone the third one.
Yes.
Missed that. My bad.
Well, that's good to see the holidays haven't taken the edge off.
It was amusing anyway, wasn't it?
Yeah, we've been cloning an animal since 1997. We don't have a single cure that's coming in those animal lines from the research of creating cloned animals. Why should we be creating cloned humans for research purposes now?
California Democratic Senator Dianne Feinstein says four fellow senators have put together a bill that would impose stiff fines for violating the human cloning ban.
This would be up to 10 years in federal prison, plus $1 million fine or three times the gross profits, whichever is higher.
So
she too believes that stem cell research should continue.
I think that we need the very strong sanctions to prevent human cloning. I see no reason why medical research cannot go ahead.
Then we have this clone aid doctor, Bridget Beausoleil, who's French.
Man, she's freaky looking. She's got the weirdest mouth you've ever seen.
Yeah.
Looks like she's got about three complete sets of teeth going on at once inside her face. It's unnerving.
I guess French dental work is as bad as the British. Anyway.
Clone her ass a new jaw.
She said it took 300 tries to clone the world's first human being. But out of the embryos, we're like thrown in the garbage.
They are frozen, and they are still available. So we actually have a lot of stem cells.
In case you need an effective embryo, like in case you're really wanting one.
She says the alleged clone doesn't face the risk of genetic defects.
The defects that have been observed in cloning of cow are the same one they observe when they do in vitro fertilization of cow. It's not problems related to cloning. It's problem related to assisted reproduction of cows.
So the clone lady has proof that baby Eve is indeed a real-life clone.
We benefited from 24 years of in vitro fertilization from the technique of cloning that was refined for animals. And through the last 5 years, there have been a lot of advance in this technique.
So the clone baby is being flown back into the U.S. today?
Apparently. Well, they're apparently here, and then they're going to have some guy from ABC News is going to supervise the... But see, here's what I don't get about everybody saying that the... Like, all these competing doctors who are clearly annoyed that they did not create the first clone baby are saying that there's no way the baby's going to pass the verification test. But why would they say it, though, otherwise? You know what I mean? It seems like it's just going to be a road to nowhere if they claim it and then they know that the baby can't pass the inspection. So I don't know why they would come out and purport to have the first clone child if they know that the DNA is not going to be a match. So it seems like it almost has to be. So, and I don't know what that's going to be all about, especially since you, according to what Giuliano said, there's no... They claim that they didn't do the cloning in the U.S., and so it might have been in international waters. And you know this is going to lead to a whole rash of stupid, self-centered white people having their dead kids and their dead cats cloned. That's what it's going to be, man. There's going to be rich people like 700 deep in the queue having their dead family members and dead animals brought back to life. Like, it wasn't enough that we're stuck with these retarded soccer moms who spend like $50,000 having, you know, some of their chicks' eggs crammed into them. You know, like it was a supermarket, you know, and they're trying to get the last 9 items in so they can get out, as quickly as possible. You know, I do. I kind of have this friend Tammy who does this, where she's just just so bent on having this perfect little duplicate of herself running around the house that she's just racked up just tens of thousands of dollars in medical bills trying to find some weird, bizarre way to have, you know, because there's in vitro fertilization and then there's something else. There's some other thing where they jam a turkey baster into you and do something there. And then there's a surrogate motherhood and all this crap. And just more stuff for self-indulgent parents to have little miniature versions of themselves running around the house. Because that's what we need.
More Ashleys and Jordans running around.
Completely. This is Tyler and Skyler. Aren't they cute?
So it looks like to the head of this organization here, this rail guy. Have you seen him?
Oh, he's a freak, man.
So let's listen to him say something. Here he is.
Ever wonder why people who work at Quest will go to such great lengths to help a customer?
For my father and my uncle. For three generations of McLeod.
I'm going to go out on a limb here. This sounds like the wrong cut.
It is.
Back in 1990.
That's okay.
And we're going to start making a jar for Matt.
This is not me. It says News Clip 20 on the list. This is News Clip 20.
Okay, well, I
get a list of cuts from Tim. I play them in order.
Yep. This one's a mistake.
What does stroke feel like?
Welcome back, Rick.
Yeah.
But this one is my fault.
God bless us, everyone.
Okay, moving on.
Anyway. So that's that. Okay. We didn't want to hear this rail guy anyway.
Okay.
Kind of nutty.
Moving on. Let's see. We got the various Christmas greetings that come in here. Let's see. Emerson, you dick. Thanks for linking the old web page to the new and improved web page. I've been going to my bookmark page since the 9th, waiting for news on the Tim Riley factor. Then I find out the link is outdated. I've been starved for my daily dose of Emerson on the net. I finally found the right link. I guess I'm a better, stronger person for it. Keep up the great show. Loyal listener, delivery driver, dump truck, Doug. And then he signs it, F. Matt with a load of big bones.
This F. Matt is sponsored by Vancouver Pipe and Tobacco.
Well, that's creepy. Let's see. This is from Tuesday. This is from our Christmas Eve show. Merry Christmas, Rick, Matt, Tim, Clyde, Sarah, Jolie, Jerome, and Christina, wherever she may be.
Oh, thank you.
You guys need to add alcohol every day. You're hysterical today. This is Christmas Eve, which I don't think we were drunk. I think it was just Clyde.
Yeah.
I think Clyde was the only one who was drunk because they
was
brought in
Clyde
that weird...
drinking?
Yeah, because they brought... Remember, because Heather and Ivy brought in that 12% peach alcohol weird peach concoction? All right. Let's see. And we'll get to the rest of these later. All right, here's Tim Riley in the KTK Newsroom.
Beaverton resident Deanne Gorman will be in court next month after her refusal to get rid of Al, the pet alligator her family has raised from a child. In reaction to Al, who is 4 feet long and disturbed some neighbors, Beaverton recently expanded its animal ordinance to ban alligators. Mrs. Gorman has retained Portland animal lawyer Giordi Deckler to challenge the ordinance. Trial is set for January 22nd. Al will be there as evidence. The defense hopes to prove the ordinance invalid, unconstitutionally vague, and not acceptable to Al or Beavertonians.
You know, and is there anything more Portland than the fact that there is an animal lawyer here? You know what I mean? That just sums up the city in a nutshell, that there's some lawyer here who just specializes in defending your pets. This is like that thing in San Francisco where it was some city ordinance where now they no longer refer to the people who own pets as being owners, but their pet, what is it, guardians or something now? It's one of the reasons why I love Portland and hate it simultaneously.
All right. Anyway, listen to this. Here's a story about Quest. About 20,000...
Good foreshadowing, Tim. Okay.
Yeah. About 20,000 non-union members of Quest have received a 3% annual bonus this week. Quest asked the union employees to volunteer for unpaid leave early next year. Quest spokesman could not provide a total amount of the company paid bonuses. Union officials say they've heard months that the company might make a gesture to its managers in recognition to job cuts and decreased benefits that they've seen in the past 2 years. A union spokesman says he knows that the union folks won't be getting anything other than what they bargained for. Quest is Oregon's largest telephone company. It's got about $22.6 billion in debt. But it's giving its managers raises.
Excellent.
And remains under the scrutiny of regulators over this accounting.
God bless us, everyone.
So, we had the commercial, which we played by mistake a few minutes ago.
Ever wonder why people who work at Quest will go to such great lengths to help a customer?
For my father.
We beat them otherwise.
For three generations of McLeods.
For my grandfather, who believed in the spirit of service back in 1919.
And now he's dead.
In many cases, they watched a granddad or mother working hard as they lived the spirit of service and said, count me in.
What?
For the technician.
The spirit of service?
Correct me if I'm wrong. Hasn't Quest been around for about 7 years?
Yeah.
Our spirit of service goes back 4 proud generations.
No, it doesn't.
From
my grandparents.
It's clearly a lie.
I wish they were here to see their company make history again. They'd be proud.
I wish I was here to see our company.
Are you? I'm going on the internet right now and seeing how old it is.
I wish Granddad was here to see
us. Are they just like
employees?
Are they just kind of like assuming that the heritage behind like U.S. West or something is theirs?
West folks love their work.
They love their work.
Yeah, clearly that's what Alexander Graham Bell had in mind. I foresee a day when we can lay off people during the holidays and then reward management for their cost-cutting abilities. Make it so, Watson. What, four generations? Quest is...
Mr. Watson, this is Quest.
Watson, come here. You're fired.
I'm giving myself a raise.
Quest's only been around. They've been around less than 10 years.
But three generations.
Where they're going back four generations. What the hell is that about?
I wish my granddad was alive to see this layoff.
Jesus. I wish my grandfather was alive. Of course, after Quest laid him off, he had no choice but to sink into despair and alcoholism, and he died of starvation living in a box that formerly housed a stove down on Main Street. But still, I wish he was here. I'll just, sorry about that, I'll just bleep that. All right, we have Jolie from the front desk. We also have Richard Nunn from the WB coming up. Don't go anywhere. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk 1080, KOTK. Don't go anywhere. We will be back after this.
KOTK.
Maybe I wish you just start saying that up.
The microphone.
Your microphone.
Come off of my hand again.
Stop throwing the damn thing around.
I haven't done a damn thing. I'm just using the microphone the way I use it every day. Don't look at my ass like it's my fault. All right. I was going to make some joke about Rick Emerson providing fine talk since 1842, but it's lost now. All right. Here's Sarah Dillon.
Call now to join us, 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
You can... Damn this, and I was just about to yell at Sarah. That's why there was instant karma.
Stop it.
The universe intervened by breaking the microphone again. Okay, here's the thing.
I just heard somebody say, stop being nice.
I'm gonna fix the microphone, and I'm not going to touch it anymore for the rest of the day. I'm just going to secure it, and then I'm going to never adjust it again. All right, you just go about your business. Here's Tim Riley in the KFTK Newsroom.
Now let's see what we have here.
Yeah.
The Bushes had a good time with their Disney cruise.
Yeah.
A spokesman for the governor's office says it was wonderful and relaxing. The governor's wife and two sons.
Will you please turn it off while you're fixing it?
Former President
Bush. I might have
Bush
a comment to make.
And First Lady Barbara Bush, you're among the Bushes on the three-day
you're
trip.
You're making noise.
Nobody got sick.
You're interrupting the news.
Despite a rash of illnesses hitting numerous cruise lines, including Disney, fellow passengers saying the Bushes swam, played games, and posed for pictures. They generated so much excitement on board that a seven-year-old said it was more fun to see the Bushes than Mickey Mouse.
Well,
what the hell are you doing?
That's something, isn't it, Tim?
It certainly is.
Okay.
Can I get you a hammer and like some? I want to see you try to build something.
I'm coming right along.
What are you doing to the poor microphone?
Look, I'm doing what I can, man.
Why do you have a torch? It doesn't need to be welded
on. Shut up. Okay, drop the nut again.
Okay.
That's something I hear far too frequently.
How many talk show hosts does it take to screw in a microphone?
All right.
It is tragic, isn't it? Should we move ahead to the Hick Watch?
Oh, yeah. Please, let's.
All right, let's do that.
Copenhagen makes me feel good. Copenhagen, the way I know it should. Well, I put a little chew in my mouth, go spitting, slobbering all around the house. That's Copenhagen.
A break in the head leads to the death of a Mercer, Ohio man. Detective Kurt Gorman is used to dealing with people who run afoul of the law, but not necessarily the law of gravity. Gorman figured the city had another murder early Sunday when dispatchers called him at home and said someone had been shot in the back of the head. I was getting dressed and thinking, a gunshot to the head. It's Christmas time. It's going to be a homicide. Well, he soon found out, however, the cause of death was much more low-tech. The neighbor said the victim was intoxicated and wanted to see how far he could throw a brick into the air. He threw it in the air a couple of times, trying to get it higher. The last time he threw it into the air, he lost sight because he was throwing a brick in the dark. And it hit him on the back of the head.
Oh, that's excellent. That he would shoot you... Oh, come on, there's nothing I can add to that story. There's no way I can make that story any funnier.
He was taken, he was life-flighted to Mercy Hospital. The victim's name withheld for some reason.
Probably has like a Ray or Billy somewhere in it, though.
He's believed to only be in his 20s.
And not getting any older.
And that's today's Hick Watch.
There's your Hick Watch for Monday. I think the threads are stripped on this.
That could be. Yeah, I know it should. Well, I put a little chew in my
mouth. Yeah, doesn't really seem fixable.
Do you want me to call Mike?
Is he here?
He might be. Let me check.
I can't believe that the engineer would be here and be listening to this and not have offered to come and help.
Oh, that could
yeah,
be.
That's
it,
not
why not? This has got to be like a comedy thing for him.
I'm just going to hold the microphone now. Just going to hold it in my hand. You know, I'm just going to do it old school. I'm going to ride bareback here. Just going to hold the microphone in my hand.
Wow. Well, let's see here. What's on TV tonight? Fear Factor. Contestants try to survive in a room full of tear gas. I guess we got to get used to that. Huey Long's on a documentary tonight on PBS. He's a well-known flamboyant Louisiana governor and U.S. senator assassinated in 1935. Huey Long. It's a Ken Burns documentary, apparently. What else is on? Monster Garage. A team turns a 1984 Porsche into a golf range picker.
Monster Garage is the finest show going, man. That's a great
show.
Why
would you do that to a Porsche?
Well, because you're trying to amuse yourself because you don't have to pay for it because the Discovery Channel's paying for it.
Changing sexes, male to female. Transsexuals discuss their compulsion. They just killed one in Yakima over the weekend when you
now,
were
is that
there.
Is that right? Is that on right after Monster Garage?
Yeah, it is.
So let me understand this. So the show where you're turning, what is it, a Porsche into a golf picker?
Yeah.
So that's immediately followed by the show where you're turning a man into a woman.
Right.
Well, there's a certain symmetry there.
Let's see. Right after that is Fixing the Body Reconstructive Surgery. And a repeat of Monster Garage right after that. Let's see. What's on right after that? Kazam.
Kazam with Shaquille O'Neal.
Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah. Hasn't he made like 75 films or something? Just some unbelievable amount of films. All of them bad except for Blue Chips.
Blue Chips was a good, but that wasn't really him. It was Nick Nolte. That was
yeah.
Good.
Man, so there's that, then there's Kazam, and there's Steel. Anybody see Steel? Steel's like the worst movie ever made. I caught about half an hour of it on Showtime at Memory Service.
Did he make some
Superman
like armor suit or something out
it's
of?
Awful.
Yeah.
Just the worst thing ever.
Also on tonight, let's see, the E! True Hollywood Story, the life of John F. Kennedy Jr. and his wife Caroline. That is absolutely wrong.
Yeah, that's a mistake.
That wouldn't be possible. Caroline was actually the daughter. Let's see what else is happening. Oh, on VH1, The Temptations. Personal disputes and problems with drugs, alcohol, and illness accompany the musical quartet's rise to fame. This is like a four-hour
movie. Apparently their group was aptly named.
Yeah, can I just tell you this, though? That, you know, you are never more grateful to have a TiVo or a TiVo-like device than when you start watching MTV programming and VH1 programs. They got the commercial breaks on MTV are like 7.5 minutes long. They're just unbelievably long. And so I was watching the Top 50 of 2002 on MTV. So it's a five-hour show. Got it through in about 49 minutes. It was so great, you know, just speeding right through those. Every time, you know, Beyonce Knowles, every time you see something at Shakira, you just skip right past it. You skip to only the good songs.
Here's something else we don't need. American Bandstand's 50th anniversary.
Right.
It said it's a celebration.
Maybe they'll have that scene of C.W. McCall performing Convoy.
Or the Michael Moore shot when he's in the back of the van.
Yeah, get out of here. Yeah.
Shut that door. Shut that door.
Dick Clark uses this stream of profanities to get rid of Michael Moore.
It was incredible. Anything else on tonight of interest? Let's see here. Nothing really in prime time at all. A movie called Ransom with Mel Gibson. Ever hear of that?
That's a bad film. You don't want to see that.
Yeah, what's on the WB? Everwood. What's that?
Everwood is sort of his twin. Everwood is sort of Marcus Welby by way of Northern Exposure. It's got Treat Williams in it. It's not a bad show, but I've gotten so hopelessly behind that now I have to wait until it starts in reruns because I've missed so many episodes now I can never catch up.
And anything else here? Let's see. Thunderball with Sean Connery from 1965. It's a 007. He scuba dives into some nuclear bombs or something.
Well, all right.
So that's that.
Okay, I'm going to go try to fix this microphone here. We got a end-of-year top five coming up. Also, Jolie from the front desk. Plus, we've got a another appearance by Richard Nunn from the WB coming up. Don't go anywhere. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland, 1-800-727-5955. Stay there. It's the Monday after Christmas. We're back. We're live. We will continue after this on Hot Talk 1080 KFTK. Stay there.